So in this talk, I discussed the relevance of style to subjectivity. And I will use digital gameplay as an example of how play style can occur in slight variations in the player's actions and attention. And I will focus how play style highlights the relation between self-formation or self-fashioning and practical agency. Now, style is a crucial part of elaborating oneself through gameplay, but it can equally be manifested through any kind of aesthetic activity or aesthetic practice. In fact, style can be a way for a practice to have aesthetic relevance, as it highlights the formal characteristic of a practice and kind of enables its aesthetic appreciation by being stylish. So, what is style? It's the title of this slide. The word style, as is perhaps most commonly known, it comes from the Latin word stylus, which means a stake or a spike, and more specifically, a pointed instrument for writing. Now, especially in its Latin etymology, style refers to the practice of inscribing words on a wax tablet, in ancient Rome, for example. Now, today's stylus still refers to a pen, and nowadays it also refers to the pens that are used with touch screens, so the word lives on. Now, this etymological background provides an important insight. Style is an inscription that is impressed on a malleable matter. In terms of subjectivity, style is an imprint that molds the self and gives it form. Now, as getting ahead of myself. So especially in philosophy, style refers to the manner of speaking and writing. It's a rhetoric or a literary style. Now, especially after German Romanticism, philosophical style gained emphasis in how thought itself can be presented. So style refers to a formal character of language, not what is said, but how it is said. And more generally, it also refers to the manner of executing a work of art and the manner of behaving, and even more generally, the mode of living. And especially artistic style, with the modern conception of the genius, has often been understood as unique and original, whereas style as a social phenomenon is more related to imitation. But in general, it is kind of a common thought that style kind of characterizes the ethos and character of a person and defines it. Okay. Title Style Between Fashioning and Incision. As French philosopher Philippe Lacour-Labat has stated, style is a doubled phenomenon. So on the one hand, style is sought and performed actively, but on the other, it is adapted without noticing. So it's both a deliberate practice and also a kind of subconscious trace that forms the subject before any conscious decision. So style also comprises of traces left to us by others. Lacour-Labat has characterized this difference by stating that we are subjects of both the tragedy and Bildungsroman. So style is related to personality as an artistic or personal style, something that differentiates the subject from other people. However, style is seldom original. In the vein of deconstruction, it could be argued that style is always an imprint that precedes the act of enunciation and deprives the subject of any original style. So I will venture to question originality here further, as and only note that style is often formed by imitating others, either deliberately or through unconscious habits and manners. So, and in this way, the character of the subject is determined by unconscious repetition of manners and actions before the subject has kind of this deliberate self-construction and forming of style. Lucky Labaste also refers to Freud, who already say in the psychopathology of everyday life that kind of conscious determination does not cover the use of our expressions. So style is related to meaning, but not on the level of verbal signification. As in style of speech and writing, style is more about the formal character. Okay, but this will suffice for style in general. So let's look at play style through a couple of examples. So against this kind of general background of style, I now attempt to differentiate between deliberate and inconspicuous styles in digital gameplay. So here's a clip from Elden Ring, action role-playing game, but requires this is more risky. Defeat sword in both attacks the enemy as well as well. So I think we can clearly see style in this gameplay, how the player approaches the enemies, how the player moves the character, what is the rhythm of the attacks and so on. So style, in my view, has nothing to do, for example, how the character is dressed and these kind of things. And I don't really even relate it to the kind of selection of equipment, what kind of sword is used. I think style is something more nuanced in the kind of minor micro level interactions. But let's look at a different kind of game. So Elden Ring is considered as a difficult game, and the next game is also notoriously difficult, although quite different. So in Getting Over with Bennett Foddy, the player controls this man, Diogenes, who is in the jar, and Diogenes moves around by grabbing the environment with this sledge. And the only way to control the sledge for the player is to move around the mouse without clicking anything, so just by the movement of the hand, or by touchpad, of course, on a laptop. And so this movement moves the white circle around the sledge, and it kind of indicates that where the sledge will move. And then the player has to climb, very difficult climb, upwards just by grabbing things with the sledge. And thrusting the character upwards like this. The sledge grabs that snake on the left. And here the player failed and lose. Playstyle is much more your own. There is not choosing the point where the connect decision has to be made quite quick. And I hate that it's uninstalled the game, but what I did, I'm just because the struggle was so intense and enjoyable. So anyway, can there be a play style in playing this kind of game, or is it just a matter of skill? I think that there can be stylistic variation also in this kind of game, but it comes down to such a minor rhythmic elements of controlling the sledge that they are very difficult to notice. But you can play this game like with the very fast paced movements with kind of big movements and swing the sledge around with a great force, which propels the character forward quite quickly. It's risky, but skilled players can play this game through very quickly with that kind of style. And then we can play, of course, meticulously and very slowly moving the sledge to the right position and slowly, slowly turning it so that the character will not slip. So I think there is this kind of stylistic variation. But of course, here, kind of the variation requires skill. So unskilled player really cannot do it. Or if they try, for example, this kind of fast-paced style, it probably leads to failure. So there is now some kind of notice. Titled playstyle. So playstyle is the formal characteristic of playing a game. It's the manner of interaction with the game artifact. And I think style can be distinguished from purely tactical and strategic decisions, even though the border between them and style is often blurred. Like, for example, choosing to play with a character that uses magical spells in Elden Ring from a distance against enemies is a strategic choice, as is the choice of using a sword. But of course, these strategic choices also affect the playstyle, or can affect it. However, both melee and a magical character can be played with a meticulous or a haphazard style, for example, equally. And character attributes can also affect styles, as a character with high vitality points is more viable for a reckless playstyle, as it can endure more damage from the enemies without dying. So I think that actually tactical and strategic choices correspond more with the deliberately constructed style. This is the character that I wish to play, and these are the tactical decisions that I make in order to win this game. Whereas the rhythms of movement and other micro-level interactions and kind of habits, like Feng Zhu has recently talked about brief habits, for example, comprise the incised style of inconspicuous habits and manners. So while this can be gained from other players, they also can be a cumulative result of playing different kinds of games. Forgot to go forward. So, for example, just to quote some research, James Ash has suggested that by opening one's body as effectively vulnerable, players can internalize the sensitivity required by the game as a particular form of somatic attunement. Ash referred to, with attunement to the Heidegger's existential Stimmung, attunement towards the world. Feng Zhu has also discussed habitual actions and how they are trained tacitly through non-conscious acts, which also can become automated. And Jacevich has discussed a notion of ludic habitus to discuss acquired patterns of perception, appreciation, and action, which he also calls playstyle directly. So there is kind of different kinds of research with refer to this kind of non-verbal and non-conceptual meaning created by game interactions. There is also a recent study about playstyle by Mader and Tassin, in which they observed different Tetris players and attempted to distinguish between different styles of play in Tetris, which is quite interesting. Now, they recognized four groups of styles. First one, a slow and precise way of playing with a tendency to clear the game field. And second was people who played fast with few inputs for the pieces, but still left little gaps in the area. And third was people who played fast, but with high board containing gaps, so not so successful gameplay. And last were players who prioritized making the four lines, so clearing four lines of blocks at the same time, always. However, in game studies, style has often been connected with player typologies without focusing to variations in micro-level interaction. So it's often a question of what kind of players are, not about these kind of inconspicuous styles. So playstyle is perhaps most common in sports and competitive forms of digital gameplay, as professional players have acquired sufficient skill in order to develop kind of deliberate manners and variate them. And I think this could be compared also to playing a musical instrument, where beginners might struggle more with performing a given piece of music. Whereas skilled musicians can elaborate their mastery of a piece by interpreting it through slight stylistic variations in the performance. And this is all, of course, dependent on the musical score, so how much variation can be included in the performance. And same thing pertains to games, as some games will allow more room for stylistic variation and improvisation than others. So just a quick word about style and agency. Finwien 2020 has argued that the medium of games is agency. And I think this is kind of where the style really comes into play in the form of agency or in agency as the aesthetic medium of game. So Nguyen follows Bernard Schwitz, actually, and Schwitz has said that playing a game is the voluntary attempt to overcome unnecessary obstacles. So it's very simple definition of a game and does not encompass maybe all things that we like to consider games. At least it does not encompass all virtual environments if they don't have this kind of structure. But anyway, Nguyen claims that such an attempt sculpts a predefined mode of agency, and in Nguyen's view, games belong to a category of process arts, or arts of action, in which the experience of action itself is appreciated aesthetically, not an object. And for example, in the case of cooking, it's not the dish that matters, but the agency related to preparing the dish. And in social dancing, aesthetic is not the dance as a performance, how it looks like, but the cooperative bodily action itself. The feeling of doing whatever the dance requires us to do. And in games, it is not the game artifact and its features that are aesthetic, although they often are, but it's the activity of overcoming unnecessary obstacles that the game gives us. An enjoyable struggle in which the player can appreciate aesthetically their own agency and skill, says Nguyen. And I would like to add that also their style. So Nguyen's notion of agency doesn't imply any kind of freedom of choice. On the contrary, it's a predefined way of taking action, it's a restricted way of acting, which sculpts us a certain type of experience of acting that we can appreciate aesthetically. So in Bennett Foddy, for example, the player's agency was restricted to the movements of the sledge, and that gives a distinct type of experience of distinct kind of hand and eye coordination, perhaps. But I think that every agential posture in a game can still be variated in terms of style. So the form is never so rigid. Puzzle games maybe are a borderline case because they have a single solution. But even then, the kind of process of arriving to the solution of a puzzle can be different between different kinds of players. Now, Jesper Juul, a game theorist, has criticized games for emphasizing optimization. When players attempt to overcome the obstacles of a game, they tend to adopt a mindset that aims for a most optimal strategy. Now, Juul suggests that games that offer no considerable difficulty or obstacles remove the optimizing attitude and allow players to focus more on the aesthetic experience of the game itself. Juul talks especially of games called walking simulators, in which the only interaction is kind of walking in the game world with no obstacles. Now, Juul's view is quite contrary to how Nguyen views difficulty in games, because Nguyen thinks that by being difficult and forcing the players to strive, games offer experiences of agential postures. And in this view, optimizing attitude will be sculpted by the designer into a certain type of agency that would itself be aesthetically valuable. So Juul's view kind of suggests that the agency comes in the way of appreciating the game artifact, I think. Whereas Nguyen thinks that the artifact features are not the main focus of gameplay. So I just want to note that even traversing the game world can also mean a great deal about agency and style in terms of attention. So this is from Dark Souls. Also a difficult game, but for me, The first difficulty when I first time played Dark Souls was that I didn't know where to go because the game does not doesn't have any kind of map or indicators or where you should go. And you can see the slope up there, the stairs. I just didn't know this time. This is the kind of easiest area where the novice player should go. So I went to the other way and confronted very difficult enemies and just thought that, okay, this was supposed to be a difficult game and it's very difficult. And I heard that this has happened to other players also, that just didn't find their way in the game world. So I guess my playstyle was not kind of attentive enough to the details of the environment. Here's a picture from Dear Esther, in which the only obstacle is moving around the game world. And it was not so difficult to find the path in this game. I didn't kind of stumble upon some similar situation as in Dark Souls, but I think that it's not really different. Only this game, perhaps from the outset, suggested a playstyle in which I pay attention to the surroundings because there is nothing else in the game. So it was kind of an explorative mode from the beginning, so I was looking for a path where I might go in the game and unlock the narrative content that it presents. So here, the stylistic variation is narrowed down to choosing different paths within the game world, because you can kind of move between in the island in this game to different areas. But even though in Dark Souls, when I kind of learned to pay attention, in the subsequent games from the same developers, I still have had the same problem that I just hadn't been paying enough attention when playing. My style has perhaps been too kind of fast-paced. Even though Elden Ring from the same developers of Dark Souls features a world map, it doesn't have kind of any quest indicators. Those are just kind of fast travel points, those yellow circles. So the game, again, you have to find all these points in the game board. There are some kind of marks in the map, though, so it's such a huge world in this game that the map is required. Now, in usual open world games, the map is filled with all kinds of markers and routes, so the game directs to where you can go, and you can just follow the minimap on the bottom of the screen and find your way. I think that Elden Ring also kind of encourages more explorative playstyle. For example, in Cyberpunk, I missed a lot of stuff by just following the map and not finding the way by myself, by kind of navigating the world. So my playstyle became very optimized, just trying to go from one point to the next and doing quest after quest after quest and so on. Okay, we're out of time, so I quit here. I don't really have conclusions because I think it's very difficult to say anything about this kind of style that is inconspicuous and kind of precedes and performs the act of enunciation and self-fashioning. But I think there are multiple levels of style in gameplay. And first of them is this deliberate and tactical and strategic choices that the player makes. This is the kind of conscious self-fashioning of the player. So how I want to play this game. Then there is the rhythmic variation and tacit manners and habits, which might precede and be kind of pre-inscribed in the subject who plays the game through their previous gameplay history, for example, or through other societal forms of gameplay and interaction with other players. And then there is the attentive focus also, which I think is also a question of style, as I try to demonstrate with the kind of paying attention to the environment. So I think the style and self-fashioning in gameplay is related especially in this kind of repetition of gameplay habits and stylistic variations. So it's a recurring practice, which also then affects the subject's modes of doing and being in the world through a kind of style, artistic style, as you see Saarinen talked about these kind of existential feelings. I think play style, this kind of form, might touch also being in the world. to such attunement, maybe. Okay, thank you.